This podcast is sponsored by Jabra Enhance. Getting hearing aids is no picnic. It's expensive, confusing, time-consuming, right? Actually, no. With the Jabra Enhance Select and Premium Package, you can get state-of-the-art hearing aids and professional care without the hassle. Jabra Enhance offers advanced rechargeable hearing aids delivered to your door for thousands less than you'd expect. No offices, no waiting rooms. Just take the online hearing test to personalize your hearing aids. Enjoy speech clarity, noise reduction, and hearing technology that adapts to your unique sound environments. And the audiology team can provide adjustments to your hearing aids remotely on request for 3 years. And the best part? You'll likely pay thousands less than if you went to a traditional audiologist. And now for a limited time, save $200 when you order Jabra Enhance Select Hearing Aids with promo code PODCAST. Go to jabraenhance.com, enter promo code PODCAST to save. Jabraenhance.com, code PODCAST.
For eligible individuals 18 and older in 50 United States and Washington, D.C. with mild to moderate hearing loss only, audiology team may not be able to program hearing aids for some types of hearing loss. See website for details and important safety information.
Hey guys, Greg here. I am committed to living a healthy and active lifestyle in my 50s. I'm actually committed to living a healthy lifestyle for as long as I am living, and I intend to be here for a very long time. And you know what makes me happy? Bubs Naturals makes me happy, and they are an integral part of my daily routine. Their collagen protein powder has helped me maintain strong and healthy joints. The MCT oil powder has supported my energy levels and mental clarity, and their coffee is flat out delicious and has become a staple in my morning routine. I am grateful for the high quality ingredients, the impressive benefits that Bubs Naturals products provide, and I highly recommend them to anyone out there looking to maximize their health and wellness in midlife or at any other age, stage, or time of life. Just head over to bubsnaturals.com, use promo code MidwifeMail, you will save 20%. Pick up all of their products. Okay, here we go. Another week, another Midlife Mail podcast. I am Greg Scheinman, and welcome to this week's episode. I'm super excited. I've got my old friend David Lasher joining me on the show. We have known each other since, wow, it's either junior high school or high school, back from Long Island days. And David, you may know him. He has been a long time working actor, best known for his roles in Blossom, where he was Vinny, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and the Nickelodeon show and cult classic, Hey Dude. Great guy. Really great guy. Husband, father, got his head screwed on straight. It's awesome to catch up with him. In 2014, he also co-wrote and produced the film Sister, which premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival. And now, amongst other projects and things that we've talked about, he's doing something really cool. It is the new podcast called Hey Dude, the 90s Called. And this is a super cool podcast. He co-hosts this with Christine Taylor, and they're going full rewind into the 90s, on this. And they've had some incredible guests on of late: Jason Priestley from 90210, Scott Wolf from Party of Five. He also did the movie White Squall with David, Lisa Loeb, who I love from Reality Bites, of course, Joey Lawrence. So they're doing some really, really cool stuff. So if you are a product of the 90s, like I am, like David is, like Christine is, this is a lot of fun to listen to and check it out. It was awesome having him on the show. It's awesome going down not only memory lane, but where we are now as men, as 50-year-old men, working to maximize midlife. And for me, that's always cool to see and talk and catch up with these guys that I've known for a really long period of time. But that gap that happens to so many of us, where you just don't see one another, you just don't really talk to one another for a while, and then you kind of circle back and see where guys are and how they have grown up, how they have evolved. We're all going through the same stuff, whether you are an actor, whether you are an author, whether you are, you know, an entrepreneur, whatever you are in life as a vocation, what we're really still talking about here, and we get into this, the six F's of family and fitness and finance and food and fashion and fun. And speaking of that, this was a lot of fun having David on the show. So let's get after it right now. David Lasher, Midlife Male Podcast. Here we go.
Thank you for doing this. Of course, man. It's so on brand right now, and the chance to catch up with you and what you're up to is awesome. So,
you too, man. Congrats on the success of what you're doing, because I don't know of anybody that is in that space or is trying to help, you know, midlife males at all. You know, we spoke about everyone, you know, guys like us, we just say everything's fine, everything's fine. And then we're up at 3 a.m. worrying about a million things. And there's really no one that is doing what you're doing. So I think it's awesome.
Well, thank you again. Look, I kind of backed into this. And, you know, as a guy who was just me, just struggling with trying to figure shit out. For a long period of time, probably 30 years, I like to say, from about 17 to 47, and now I'm 50, trying to figure it all out. And, you know, say slow learner and late bloomer. And now it's like, okay, do I get this opportunity to ask amazing guys questions and learn from them and try to aggregate it and figure out what really works and how do I apply it? So, you know, I'm 200 plus conversations in, and I'm still learning and still tweaking and still applying. And that's what became the book and the newsletter. And then this real opportunity, the mission continues to get bigger. Like, can we help a million men maximize middle age? And what does this really look like? And,
right.
And how do we shape it around the things that are really most important to us, which we'll talk about? It's really important to you. I mean, and here you are, you know, married with children, you know, same woman, long career, like all of these things, they're all in the bucket.
I'll tell you, though, as far as you calling yourself a late bloomer, I remember having lunch with you on the Warner Brothers lot, and you said, I'm going to make a movie. And I'm like, yeah, everyone's going to make a movie. And then you made a movie, you know, like you were the first guy I knew that actually said you were going to do it. And, you know, a few months later, you did it with Amanda Peet. You made a great movie. And then from what I remember, you decided this business is not for me, but at least you went there, you gave it a full shot.
Well, it's so, I really, really appreciate it, because I also remember that. And I remember first meeting you, I think it was through Sklar.
Ryan Sklar, yeah.
And you would come and at a great night or hang out, and you were the big TV star. You were the actor. Like, you were like the super stud actor guy who came in and knew. I was like, that guy's like really, really cool. Like, how does that happen? You know? And
then, yeah. And then Brian introduced me to Jill, and his best wingman got taken off the market very quick. He still regrets. He doesn't regret. He regrets how quickly it happened, because I met Jill when I was 23, and we probably could have had a few more years of, fun. But Brian did introduce me to my wife,
which is amazing. So you guys met at 23. Okay, so how long have you been married in total? How long did it take until you guys got married?
Like 3 years. We got married in 99, October of 99. So we're on 24, we're 23 years.
Okay. So you're right around where Kate and I are. So we've been married 22 and together like 25, you know? And if you would have told me again that I would be married with kids living in Houston, Texas, you know, I would have said, bet the fucking under, you know, like that's never going to happen. But I met my wife. So Sklar set you up and lost his wingman. I met Kate, my wife, at the Sky Bar of the Mondrian Hotel, of all places.
Oh, gosh.
When I was trying to sell the foreign rights to that movie, Two Ninas, that you had mentioned, that I ended up making.
Wow. So that movie actually led you to meeting your wife.
Totally. So the greatest success from that movie
right.
was one, being in the Mondrian Hotel trying to sell this little thing territory by territory, you know, back then.
Yeah.
Was what you had to do, was meeting my wife there. And then she came to New York a few weeks later for a screening we did at the Gen Art Film Festival, which we ended up winning. So she thought I was cool.
Like, oh, she thought she was marrying like a big film producer.
Yeah, and she didn't know like what a fucking idiot I was. And I really didn't want to do this. And that not only does this not make any money, okay, but I'm like in so deep and I have right. no idea what comes next. So
it was a good look though, man. And it worked.
Absolutely. So I kind of like to do this. I don't know how you do it on your podcast, which by the way is awesome. And we'll get into all of that. But like, we're already in it. Like, I just love these conversations and these dialogues. So we're just already in the middle of it. Can you walk me through a little bit? We just kind of back up to the beginning. Like, I'm really curious about how you even got started in acting, you know, how this happens as a guy from Long Island, South Shore, right? For you?
No, I'm Westchester, okay. Scarsdale, Scarsdale guy.
So how did this start happening for you early on? Walk me through the childhood thing and we'll keep moving.
I don't know, man. I was like a sports guy until maybe eighth grade. And then I auditioned for some play and I just loved it. I loved the camaraderie, the rehearsal process, everything. I just fell in love with it. And a manager named Shirley Grant came to the play and signed me. And she was repping like the Cosby Kids at the time. You know, she was like the big kids manager. And so I would, you know, in high school, I'd go from Scarsdale High School to the Scarsdale train station and go into the city. And it was like, pure freedom. I'd run on commercial auditions, pilots, and you know, different TV shows, and I just ran around Manhattan, and I just loved the whole thing, and continued to do plays as well. But I guess organically, I just found it and loved it.
And were your parents like supportive in? Cool with this? You say running around Manhattan. Were they like taking you places? Were you hopping on trains, like just going after it?
They let me have a lot of freedom that I don't think we would let our kids have today. No, I would literally get on the train, the Metro North, by myself. And, you know, I knew where to go. I'd have, you know, 3, 4, 5 auditions in an afternoon and I'd run around. I had a few friends that were also doing it. But yeah, when it came time for college, my dad made me apply and I got into NYU. And I don't know, I was working so much and the paychecks were good. And my dad just didn't want to stop me. So he said, keep deferring from NYU. I had to send NYU a letter every year for like 3 or 4 years. Until I got Blossom. And then I was like, Dad, I'm not going to go to Tisch and study what I can learn on the job for a show on NBC. Like, you know, it's a weird thing, right? Like you want to go to college for the experience, but I was having a great, great time, no doubt. But I was also working my ass off and learning how to be a professional in my profession. So I forewent going to NYU eventually. My parents probably they were upset about it, but they, you know, they watch Blossom every week and they were like, all right, what are we gonna do?
And that was the big break. That was what necessitated also the conversation. Like, I have a series on NBC to be on. Mm-hmm. Or I can go to school and everybody there is trying to get a series on NBC, right?
Yeah, it was hard for them to argue against it. I mean, my first show was a Nickelodeon show called Hey Dude. And that's where our podcast is with my first co-star on that show, Christine Taylor, But that wasn't going to convince my parents. It was a cable show. At the time, cable was not what it is now, you know. So we were kind of like the stepchildren. But yeah, when I got Blossom, my dad said you could stop writing NYU letters.
So take with so that arc, you know, you're on Blossom, you're rolling, you know, now you're saying, okay, not doing college. I'm rolling, I'm on this show. What does that feel like? You're the kind of guy I look at and go, okay, you've kept your head on straight. You know, like you're like how we hear all these stories, you know, of child actors and spiraling out of control. And how did you kind of navigate through that whole time?
Listen, I don't know. I thank God I wasn't a big like partier or drug user, but you asked Brian Sklar, he lived on my couch for a few months and I had this apartment on Burton Way in this beautiful building. And the second bedroom, when I moved in, I had all the boxes just put in that room and never unpacked the boxes. And I remember Brian and I at some point found a few checks, a few Blossom checks uncashed inside of one of the boxes. So it was really like a figure it out and learn how to be an adult, a responsible person on your own and fail a lot. You know, but the one thing I did know is when I was on set or in a room in an audition, I had to take care of my work. If I did that, I could fuck up every other which way. As long as I took care of those precious things. And, but yeah, I mean, ask Brian, man, I had checks that you would not believe that were uncashed, just sitting in a second bedroom unfound. And, I was irresponsible and, you know, out of my mind, but thank God I didn't, you know, I didn't fall into like a crazy party, issue, you know?
What does it feel like, you know, the other side when a show finishes, you know, or you get to a different stage and age of life where maybe the roles will have to change, you know, or what you're known for, maybe the identity, you know, aspect of it. Like, yeah, you're always approaching it as a professional in there, knowing what you need to do, but you know, it's hard. We don't all stay hot, you know, like I've been fired from things. He said, I've changed businesses. I thought I wanted to make movies early on. It was not the right decision for me. You know, I ended up in all sorts of different things where sometimes people tell you like, this isn't for you, or it's not right for you, or what came easy doesn't come so easy, you know, anymore.
You know what? I think it's a blessing when things don't come easy, especially at a young age, because for me, things were easy for 2 decades, you know, Blossom ended. I remember getting the call and it was devastating. But then I just got project after project. I got, you know, movies of the week. I just kept working and then was lucky enough to get another show that went into syndication, Sabrina, for a number of years, you know, 50 something episodes of that show. Then the Clueless show. And at some point in my early to mid 30s, it all stopped. And I was too young to play the lawyer and the dad, or I looked too young to play my age, even though I had just had my first daughter. And I was shaken to the core, man. Like, but it made me start writing. Even though it took me probably 5 years from when I wrote my first script, my feature length script, to when we were done and we premiered at Tribeca, 5 full years, I started a writing and directing career.
Hey guys, Greg here, and I've got to say I am blown away by the benefits I've received from using the Kineon Move Plus red light therapy device. I got this about 90 days ago, and I have worn it every day since. 5 minutes at a time on each body part, knees, elbows, shoulders. And not only has it improved my mobility and reduced pain, but it's also helped me to recover faster after workouts. Highly recommend the Move Plus to any midlife male out there or anyone in general looking to take their health and wellness to the next level. It's not just for athletes. If you are sedentary, you're sitting at a desk, you have osteoarthritis, you have hip pain, you have knee pain, you have elbow pain, joint pain, try it out. It has been a game changer for me, and I know it can be for you too. All you got to do, go over to Kineon, Kineon.io/midlifemail. Use code midlifemail. You're going to save 10% and you will not regret it. Check it out.
Now, when that happens, so you've got your first, you know, you've got your first child, your first daughter, things are changing, you know, in the career. And now you're writing and thinking about directing, and then that's 5 years. Did you have to at any point, did you think like, I have to take another job, or I have to look in a different industry, or I've got it, like, because you're a real good looking guy also, and you say, okay, but you've always also looked young. Like, even now you look really young. You know, like, where do I play? How do I do this? Do I have to, you know, again, maybe think about doing anything else? Did it creep back in? Did it go to college, you know, now or anything? I mean, I just, hard to fathom what all of these things must, you know, feel like in your 30s.
Yeah, I absolutely thought about all of those things. How, like, what other talents do I have? Like, what else could I possibly be successful at? And you know, we interviewed Jerry O'Connell the other day on our show, mm-hmm. and he went through the same thing. He worked steadily for 20 years, and then he enrolled in law school. And then Kelly Ripa asked him to guest host when Regis was out, and he guest hosted, and she talked to him and she said, you should do this. He hadn't worked in as an actor, you know, at least financially viably for a number of years. And she said, I know you think you're an actor. You're an actor. I'm an actor. You're a great host and you should do this. And now he's the host of The View. And he said, I'm eternally grateful. He goes, at first I thought, you know, I'm an actor. I was in Stand By Me. I've been in like some of the greatest movies and TV shows, and I'm not going to be a talk show host. But he got over that. And he's eternally grateful for Kelly for like pushing him in that direction. But I've always been interested in finance, and started an investment fund, and really helped support our family through investments, through, you know, funding through different friends and family, and through phone conversations every morning with people like, you know, people that we both know. And and it allowed me to kind of breathe and figure out my next steps. But I could take a year between projects in the entertainment business, and it can drive you crazy. And I'm dealing with that again right now. I mean, I'm so many plates in the air. The podcast I love because it's a weekly job. It's a weekly project to give me a purpose. But I have a film that we're ready to do. I mean, I could go on about the things that we're ready and want to do. But, in the entertainment business, it could take a long time between gigs.
That was what I struggled with when I started, about what it took to get a film made, what it was going to take to get another one made,
right?
How much time is in between. And for me at that age and stage, how dangerous time was also, you know, freedom, that filling the space, you know, in between. What do I do? Nothing I was doing was particularly healthy in between, you know, either. And it was like, okay, if I could get to a project, if I could get to a purpose, I could probably take care of myself physically, mentally, emotionally, maybe even financially. But it's this fucking gap in the middle that, you know, you go, I was going crazy, go off the rails, you know, without anybody kind of watching or moderating. So getting into kind of trying to figure out like, hey, what does consistency look like? You know, how am I really wired? You know, what do I, you know, what do I really want to do? What can I do? How can I possibly do it? You know, as you were mentioning kind of the rhythm and even the cadence and the consistency of the podcast, how did this come to be? AD the 90s guy, it's freaking great. You know, again, it's a 50-year-old guy. Like, this is terrific. And who didn't, I mean, have a crush on Christine Taylor also, and all these people that you're bringing on, like, are amazing. They just transport me back to the 90s. How did this come to be?
Well, I was asked to be on different podcasts, like Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling have a 90210 podcast. Who else? I don't know. They all seem to fall under iHeartMedia's umbrella. And I kept like being guests. And then I was asked to guest host. And then there was a producer there named Amy Sugarman, who I just loved. I mean, she produced Ryan Seacrest's show for 20 years, Mario Lopez. She's as good as it gets, you know? So we talked about the idea of, instead of looking back on a show or doing a Sabrina look back or a Blossom look back, let's look back on a decade that can capture different demographics, right? Like, younger people are fascinated with the 90s, and people like us are nostalgic for the 90s. So if you can capture those two demographics and those in between, it has limitless possibilities. The guest possibilities are limitless. I mean, I'm talking athletes, musicians, actors, fashion, what, you know, anyone who made a mark in the 90s, we want to talk to. And it didn't have the limit of, like, if you did a look back on a show, what happens when you get to the last episode of the show? Your podcast is over. So anyway, we put a deck together. I had been working with a company called Group 9 Media at the time and directing branded content for them. And they're amazing. But we had put they helped me put a deck together. I sent it to Amy. She said, I love it. You need a female co-host. I really want you to have a female co-host. So I gave her a list of people that I had worked with or I was friendly with that I could go to. And she wrote me back. She goes, if you get Christine Taylor, I will sell the show right now. So Christine happened to not only be my first like real co-star, but like my first girlfriend. like Siri, you know, like one of those 3-year, you know, 17 to 20 relationships where we went up and down in craziness. But we had kept in touch, but not very much. So I sent her texts and emails, and she tells the story that she thought somebody died. She's like, what's going on? Are you okay? And I was like, yeah, do you want to do a weekly podcast with me with iHeartMedia? Because they want you, and we can sell it together. And she was in the right place in her life. You know, her oldest had just gone off to college. Her youngest son is now a senior, and it was the right time for her. So she's like, absolutely, let's do it. And iHeart bought it, and they've been amazing partners. We've been doing it since January. So, like, you know, about 2 months.
Mm. So you talk about going back to the 90s, you know, and I graduated high school in 91, graduated college in 95, you know, and I was always deathly afraid of like peaking in high school, you know, like I did not want to like peak in high school, and I definitely didn't want to peak, you know, in college. When you get, you know, one transported back, you know, into the 90s, like, do you think of that period as kind of your heyday or glory days? And do you look at it a certain way now that you're in midlife, and we can get into kind of what that looks like too. Like, how does it feel to kind of go back to that period? You're exploring the 90s in your 50s.
Well, it's great because of the guests we have. I can really explore it through their perspectives, which ends up being very similar to mine as well. I mean, you know, we were young. We took a lot for granted. You know, we have Scott Wolf that we just dropped an episode today talking about Party of Five and White Squall. We're interviewing Jason Priestley tomorrow. And, you know, talk to these people about the success they had in the 90s. And like what you're saying, how have you evolved from that? Because, you know, look, Jason Priestley was, you know, he and Luke Perry in 1992 or three were on the cover of Rolling Stone. How do you reconcile that in your 50s? You're not going to get back to that, right? You're not going to be on the cover of Rolling Stone. But there's a lot of other fulfillment. I mean, I have a family now. I mean, there's nothing I appreciate more than a day on the beach or on the slopes with my kids. And I just look and I take it in and I go, everyone's healthy and God bless us. You know, like this is awesome. And it's probably better than being on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Hey guys, Greg here, Midlife Mail. Let's talk a little bit about protein powder that actually makes you feel better. I need protein powder every day. I need to make sure I get enough protein. I train hard. I live pretty hard. I'm busy. I'm on the go. I need the energy. I need a certain amount of protein every day. And what I'm looking for is clean, easy to digest protein. And I have found it with Human Improvement. It is the easiest to digest protein powder out there. And I have tried a lot. It is 22 grams of organic protein. It is 5 grams of healthy fiber. It has 0 grams of added sugar, and it tastes great in both vanilla and chocolate. Boosts my energy and mood, supports gut health. I don't get that bloated, gassy, weighed down feeling like I get from so many other protein powders, and it helps me to build and maintain lean muscle mass, which is super important to me. These are clean ingredients, extraordinary benefits. Go check out Human Improvement Protein. Go over to buy, that's buyhi.co. You can use promo code MidlifeMail at checkout, and you are going to save yourself 15%. That's right, 15% off of Human Improvement. Get yourself a couple of bags. Go on the subscription. I also use the travel packs when I'm on the road. Trust me on this one. This is a better way to protein, Human Improvement.
I think it's interesting that you say that, because I was going to get into kind of, you know, family, what I call the six Fs: family, fitness, finance, food, fashion, and fun. You know, for me, kind of those are the things that are super important to me and kind of what success looks like. You know, whereas for maybe 30 years, it was salary and title, you know, and
right.
I think I grew up in a place where, you know, I always say you had nowhere to go but down. You know, from there, you know, it was galactic entitlement and I didn't understand how to earn, how to learn, value of the dollar, everything. And you chase kind of the societal metrics of success. You know? And here's, we get a little older and you start describing situations, looking at your kids, you know, experiences over things, we're healthy, you know, it's that redefinition, you know, of success. You may not get back to the cover of Rolling Stone, but what does success look like and feel like now? Did you hit a time where you felt like midlife crisis, or, oh, this must be what that is?
I mean, yeah, every night for the last 10 years. I mean, you know, I'm always trying to figure it out, but at the same time, it's like trying to stay present and have gratitude for where I am now, while also trying to figure out a million other things. And that's the balance. If you don't have it all figured out, but you can enjoy the moment with your kids, I think that's what it's all about.
So I always put family as my first F. Family comes first. I've got two boys, 19 and 16. It's, you know, super cool to me that I'm in Colorado right now as we record this. Our oldest is at CU Boulder. We're going to meet up on Friday and go to the Avs game and do that. And these experiences that are there. I kind of like to go through all six of these, if you'll indulge me for a second, and kind of get your perspective, you know, kind of, do you have like a family mantra? Like, you've got, obviously you and Jill have been together since you were 23 and you have two girls. And if I get this right, I may fumble this. I think it was your youngest one who I saw singing in a car about your Victoria's Secret and going, is she going into entertainment? And how do you see all those? What's your kind of family kind of, you know, philosophy?
Well, first of all, we just make sure to set aside time together, right? Whether it's sitting in our hot tub in the backyard or running, going to Palm Springs or a night or a more extravagant trip or dinner at night. You know, I think we've always made it a priority to spend time together. And like last night, Chelsea and my oldest son, Casey, they go to school together. Although Chelsea's only in seventh grade, but Casey's a senior, but he drives her to school. And like, she was talking to him about some problem she was having. And they were talking about mutual friends or, you know, she knows all the seniors and Casey's the captain of the basketball team. So they all like take care of Chelsea at this school. And it just warmed my heart that they are going to remember a mutual experience at school, you know, even with the age difference. But the mantra would be to support each other and be honest and bring out the best in each other, right? If someone's doing something that's not right, we all got to jump in and tell them. And if they're achieving something, we all have to celebrate that. But I think most importantly is just like set our time together is precious. And I think even the kids now know, now that Hannah's been, you know, 2 years in college, they understand like we're not here forever. Like Casey's already freaking out. He's like, I'm leaving for college like in 4 or 5 months. So that's why he sits and talks to Chelsea and like he's kinder and he appreciative of this time we have together.
That's an amazing thing. We saw that and still seeing it again with one in college and now one at home, you know, that's a sophomore.
Right.
And the fact that they talk also have you spoken about it? Yeah, like we talked yesterday, we did this, he's helping me with this project and do that, and we're just like, okay, like that's what we want. Like keep doing that. Like I don't have to go anywhere, hear anything else. Like, okay, our boys are close and they're happy and they're appreciative of that. And the separation, is aspirational to my younger one, like that his brother's in college, but they still take the time to speak to one another. And it's super cool to see. So I think we're both blessed in that area. My second F is fitness, which I really think it's like, it's really about health, you know, more than fitness, health. You're out there in LA, obviously you've been in LA for a long time, health, fitness, kind of appearance, all those things, they play a role. And you're keeping yourself, you know, looking good, you know, in your 50s. Is it important? What's your routine? Is it super important to you? Kind of comes natural. Like what's your health and fitness wellness situation?
The only weekly routine I have is playing tennis Thursday nights, 6 to 7:30. Cause I it's always been my favorite sport and I can still play competitively. And honestly, I don't feel any better in my life than when I walk off the tennis court, you know, at 7:30 on a Thursday night. I have to be honest though, since New Year's, I have not been going to the gym. I've been, consumed. My mornings are filled up with other stuff and I just have not made it a priority. And it's like, you know, it goes in waves. And Jill is like, come to this class, sign up for this class. I'll meet you here. Like, come to the gym. What's wrong with you? Like, what's going on? And now she's like really worried. And so I got to get back into that. But normally, like, you know, a Tuesday morning, Thursday morning class at the gym near us. And we have a great hike right by our house. That's about an hour. And I can run part of it, not the uphill part, but like the level parts, I run, and it's an insane workout. I could bring the dog and I'm outside, but it's been, you know, in LA, it's been raining for 3 months straight, like full on insane weather. So I've just gotten into this like funk as far as fitness.
Is the tennis, if I can just go back to that, is a lot of stuff that I hear from guys is that it's as much about, again, like, this is my group or my people or my camaraderie or my anything. Is the tennis as much about, obviously, the sport and the athleticism, being able to still play it competitively, but do you have like a group, like, are these your guys, you know, or is it different every, you'll play anybody that shows up?
Well, I started playing a game called Live Ball, where a coach, this girl, Yelena, who coaches the Harvard Westlake varsity team, coaches, she runs it for seven players. So there's no serving, you know, it doesn't take you, you know, when you serve, it takes like 30 seconds between each freaking point. There's no serving. She feeds balls, and it's like a king of the court kind of game where you're constantly changing partners. It's a much better workout. And there's 7 to 8 players. And the fitness, the workout is insane. You know, I'm dripping sweat, but more than that, it's getting that competitiveness out in a healthy way, right? Like, I want to win. I want to be on the king of the court side as much as I can. And I can tell you last week how often I was there. And that's just how my brain works. But it's like, you get that out in a healthy way. Like, it, you know, when you get to midlife, you stop competing in a fun, you know, like athletic way. So that, I just think that's the part that I love the most.
I love that you threw the fun in there too. And we'll get to that as kind of the sixth step, but I think that often gets overlooked when people think about, again, fitness or working out or doing this, that it's, you know, it's something that they have to do and that it's not fun. It's like, you can do what's fun. Like, that's the key. Right. Like, that's the, totally. That's the definition. Do what's fun. So this one's a little different. Third F is finance. Mm-hmm. And I'm always curious and interested how people view finance. You know, we've got obligations, responsibilities, families, everything. You're sitting in, I'm sitting in a beautiful home. Like, concept of like, what's enough? You mentioned you had a kid, you know, you're interested in finance and everything too. I was never interested in finance. I've been terrible with money, like the vast majority, you know, of my life, and a really kind of like weird relationship with money for the majority of my life. You know, what's your take on finances and money? And you're around, we've seen it all. You know what I mean?
My first thing is to never live beyond our means. You know what I mean? Like, I've been in the same house since 2004. And when we needed more space, we renovated the garage rather than going and extending ourselves into a bigger house. The luxury that we do indulge in is education. You know, you gotta, I think, make priorities. And if you can take family trips, amazing. This year we didn't, because we have a bat mitzvah we're throwing for Chelsea. So we were good. I should be in Aspen right now. We were going to go. And we just said, you know what, it's like $1,500 a day for us to ski, as the five of us. And we just said, you know, sometimes you got to say no. And if you're an investor, it's a very scary time right now. The last 6 months have scared me more than I think I've ever been, to be honest. But you know, the positive side of that is it's made me go after other things. Like, really pursue, like, not like I'm messing around, but like, I need to. It always used to be like, oh, I'd like to do a movie. I'd like to sell this show to Netflix, or I'd like to do a podcast. But now it's like, no, I need to. So, you know, every challenging time is an opportunity. And I think that's true financially as well. If you hit a hard time, it's going to light a fire under your ass that you didn't have when you were financially very secure, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I think a lot about runway, you know, in that regard. Mm. How much runway do I have, you know, because we're going to hit something again that it's going to, they're going to be dips. And now I think specifically even about like age 50 to 70, you know, for example, that I think these are going to be rather expensive years, you know, as it comes, because my wife and I are in good shape and there's a lot we want to do and we'll be empty nesters within a few years. So now, like, we'll have the time to do a lot of things. So what can we again afford to do? And how do we make those decisions and navigate and work at the same time, you know, with the, what do I have to do? You know, and more importantly now, what am I really doing is what do I get to do that I really want to do? Mm-hmm. And can I also earn? Can I earn doing the things that I actually really want to do and get to do versus, you know, what I did for a long time was I have to do this, you know, like, right. I genuinely have to do this. The next one is food, which is really nutrition. Like, do you follow a particular, you know, diet, what you put in your body? Like, do you have like, hey, I eat the same thing for breakfast every day, I drink my coffee at the same time. And by the way, this is Rufus. Rufus just entered the frame. This is my friend John's dog. So you guys at home can't see this, but Rufus just decided to jump on my lap.
Is that a pug? Is that a pug?
Rufus is like a French bulldog, I think they call this. So Rufus is a French bulldog, right? Okay. Now Rufus is a, yes. So Frenchy? Rufus is live. Rufus is now live on our podcast right now. Okay. Yes.
I love it.
Yeah.
Food wise, I have an iced almond milk latte every morning. And then, you know what? A lot of, and Jill complains about this too. Like, a lot of times I'll eat lunch at 3 o'clock. Like, when I can't, you know, as soon as I get free time, I'll just go grab whatever. I had a poke bowl today, but like, I'll get a burger, but then she's serving dinner and I'm like, I just kind of ate lunch. So my kids and my wife make fun of me. They're like, oh, you had a late lunch. They think I don't eat, but I have my iced latte in the morning. I mean, if I do work out, I used to get protein shakes every morning, but like I said, I've been since New Year's just been off of that. And usually eat a late lunch and a light dinner. And I take, yeah, but I do take a good vitamin every day, like a you know, middle-aged male type vitamin.
Check the box. That helps. Okay. Yeah. As long as I do this, okay. Whatever I've missed in my daily nutrition, this helps me say that I've done it. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. I do that too with my daily athletic greens. It's like, whatever. Like, I feel like as long as I put this packet in my water, like, I've covered my bases, whatever goes wrong today. Like, at least I've got it. It says so right here on the packet.
Exactly. Whatever else happens is bonus.
Fashion and style. Mm-hmm. You care what you wear, like, do you have a uniform, like, how you want to be perceived, how other people perceive you, what do you put on?
Jill actually buys most of my clothes, and I like to wear jeans. I like to wear a t-shirt or a long sleeve tee, or it's been so freaking cold here, so I like, you know, a comfy sweater. But she's gotten me a few jackets that you could put over anything and it makes you just look good. Like, I could wear a white t-shirt with one of the jackets that she got me with jeans, and I could go out to dinner, you know, at a nice restaurant.
Do you have do you have a power tennis outfit? Like, hey, I'm going to go win today.
No, I love, the brand Vuori, mm-hmm. which I actually found in Aspen at, Miller Sports. Like, I don't know how many years ago, but Vuori is the most comfortable workout clothes. So I'll throw on just my Vuori core shorts, Vuori t-shirt. The sweatpants are insane. I'm doing an ad for Vuori. I don't know why, but that's really my favorite workout stuff.
That's awesome. The last one you touched on a little bit is fun. Like, what's fun to you now? What are your fun activities? solo family. You know.
I mean, I do enjoy my weekly tennis. I enjoy watching my son play basketball, like stuff like as simple as that is. They've had a great season. I enjoy family trips with my kids. I mean, we went, where'd we go? We went to Tulum, all of us, Nicole and her kids, Scott and his wife and son all went to Tulum over the holidays. And to me, that honestly, there's nothing better than seeing our kids with their cousins and siblings on a beach or where you are right now, a ski trip. Or it could be something as simple as Chelsea and I took our dog on a walk yesterday and we hadn't done it in a while. And we talked, you know, like you have that time where you can just, she was rambling on about stuff that she wouldn't have told me if we weren't on a walk with the dog. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, we got to start doing this more. And I'm like, yes, it's been raining for 3 months. And I know she loves to walk our dog and take him to the park, but we've been in a funk here in LA with the weather, right? So everyone's been trapped indoors, but the walk with Chelsea, with our dog last night was so beautiful to me because she told me things about her life that, you know, made me realize we hadn't been communicating on that level because we weren't doing things like that the last, you know, since New Year's.
I've been learning about TRT for the past several years. And as someone who's consistent and disciplined with his health, physicals, blood work, I have seen my testosterone decrease annually throughout my 40s. And I am now in my 50s. Last year, I made the decision, along with my physician and my family, to go on TRT. I was lacking energy compared to where I used to be. I wasn't recovering the way I used to, wanted to, and needed to in order to maintain the lifestyle I live. I was stressed, and I was anxiety-ridden, and I was frustrated. And I have carefully tracked my progress throughout the past year. And after researching various options, providers, and services available, I transitioned to using Hone Health, and I feel like myself again. Now, I've discussed, considered, and looked at every stigma, stereotype, concern, issue, pro, con, positive, negative, connotation, reputation, and whatnot. And I'm sure that there are some that I have missed. And I am an open book here at Midlife Mail and with myself. And I will share my experience and my advice, thoughts and considerations with anyone who wants to hear it, learn from it, accept it, or ignore it. And for me, it's never been about getting jacked, winning any competitions, or getting ahead in any way other than in my everyday life. It is, though, about being the best husband, father, and provider I can be for as long as I can be, the way that I want to be. And I simply wanted to have my energy, acuity, focus, smile, and health back to where it was and where I expect it to be. And Hone has guided me and provided me with everything I have needed along the way. And because of this, I am proud to partner with Hone Health. I believe in the team, the service, the product, and the mission. And I believe in what Hone is doing every day, what they've done for me, and what they can do for other midlife males to help them live better, stronger, healthier, and happier lives. So if you're interested in learning more about Hone Health, go to honehealth.com/midlifemail. You can order your at-home test and consultation. So if you're interested in learning more about Hone Health, go to honehealth.com/midlifemail to order your at-home test and consultation and save $15.
So what are you working on now that you're super excited about? You know, what irons are in the fire? You know, what's exciting you? What's next?
There's a feature film that I'm ready to direct. That's a true story. I helped the writer do a rewrite on it. And I'd love to tell you more about it because you will flip out over the story. and who we have involved and interested, but I'm making it whether these people come in or not. You know what I mean? Like, when I made Sister, it was like, I'm making this movie regardless of who's with me. And then all of a sudden, Reed Scott and Barbara Hershey and Grace Kaufman and Ileana Douglas and all these great actors came on board. And I think I'm very close to saying, okay, I'm doing this. And then there's a show that I did called Cruisers and Shakers that is a comedy about college. It's about the shared economy. It's about college graduates who are chasing bigger dreams that have to drive for Uber and deliver for Uber Eats and Postmates and stuff like that for one reason or another to support themselves as they try to become an actor or a fashion designer or an app developer. It's a modern day taxi. And so we're, I mean, I don't even know, I should say this, we're close to getting Netflix on board for this one. But writing, directing, acting. I worked on a show. This talk about midlife male. My wife, Jill, said to me 6 months ago, why are you not acting anymore? Like, you have the time. No one goes, you don't have to go, you know, drive to Fox anymore. You just do these self-tapes. So a good friend of mine who's a successful actor, I called him. I said, can you introduce me to your agent? Because I'm like ready to get back into it. I got along with his agency. They start sending me out. The first one I got, the first one they sent me on was a show called The Other Two, produced by Lorne Michaels, starring Molly Shannon, an amazing cast. So I was flying back and forth to New York working on that show as an actor for the first time in probably 10 years. Mm. So for your audience, it's never too late to start something new or to rekindle something that you stopped, that you still have a talent for. And, you know, my wife, Jill, is good at like pushing me at like, why don't you do that? Why are you not doing this? Why? What about this? What about that?
I love that. And I also appreciate that, like, we don't have to be one thing. You know, right. I think that there's this notion in particular that we have to either, you know, over index into one particular area or specialize, you know, in one particular area. But why can't we do all of these things? Like, why can't you, again, play tennis, direct, have something in development that might take years even to come to fruition. At the same time, I'll go out and act. I'll still, you know,
right.
I can host this. If I want consistency and frequency, and now I can do this podcast, you know, every week. I don't think we have to be, you know, one thing there. So it's a great point.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's a process. You got to figure out, keep adding things and subtracting things, and you curate a life that's working for you and hopefully growing for you, you know?
There it is. Rule number three in the midlife male operating system: aggregate, curate, and eliminate. Mm-hmm. We got to aggregate from all the noise, from everything out there. We got to curate it down to what works for us. And then we got to relentlessly eliminate all the shit that doesn't. Because that's what just gets in the way there. This has been awesome. Right? Like a little trip, little catch up, little trip down memory lane in all of these areas. Yeah. And I'm so happy for you and all your just continued success personally and professionally.
Thank you so much, buddy. I'm proud of you and I'm happy for you as well. What, you know, your brand that you're forming and the work you're doing with people like us is important because it's an overlooked demographic, I guess, but
yeah, look, I think we're a little underserved for sure, you know, and we're trying to bring this to the forefront, you know, that there's this opportunity really, and guys like you who are motivating and are inspiring and are kind of living and leading by example as husbands and fathers and providers and being creative and responsible, you know, at the same time, like, we're still just getting warmed up.
It can be, you know what, it's all how you perceive it. It could be a great burden, or it could be really fun, or it could be both.
You know, I think it could be all of it there too. And I think what's really cool is that now you've got, like, I think also this amazing dichotomy going on where you're back, you know, chatting about the awesome 90s and with all of these amazing people and going through all of their respective journeys, because they're right where we are, you know, now from the 90s to 2023. Right. And at the same time, you're still forging ahead with brand new endeavors and brand new projects in all new areas in 2023, which is like, hey, 50, 60, 70, like we have, again, we talked about runway on the finance side, but we have so much runway ahead. You just take these experiences and you pay them forward.
It's so true. That's part of why I enjoyed the podcast. Like, you know, Scott Wolf, we spoke to last week, and I didn't even know this, but he moved to Park City like 12 years ago to raise his kids. And he's like, he's on a show called Nancy Drew. He flies to Vancouver, but his kids are based and settled and in school in Park City, Utah. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to hear the life choices that people have made. I would love your listeners to check out Hey Dude, the 90s Called, anywhere they get their podcasts. We're on Instagram at Hey Dude, the 90s Called. And we have Jason Priestley we're interviewing tomorrow, but it's all 90s. And yeah, my favorite part is the discussions like this.
It's awesome. You beat me to it. Guys, check it out. Hey Dude, the 90s Called. That's what it is. It's David Lasher. It's Christine Taylor. It is awesome. It is a trip down memory lane. I'm rolling through your Instagram feed as we see it, you know, right now. You got, you know, Reality Bites in there. As you said, you've got Priestley coming up. You had Adam from the Counting Crows. It's a blast, man. I've been checking it out. So, David, thank you for being on. I really, really appreciate it. I know your time is valuable. It's great to catch up with you, see your face. Please send my love to the whole family. This is awesome.
I will. You do the same. Thank you, Greg. And text Nicole. She's there right now.
Guys, if you like what you have heard on the Midlife Mail podcast, do me a favor. Please give us that 5-star rating. Leave us a positive review. Go out and listen to Hey Dude, the 90s Called. Follow David Lasher on Instagram and everywhere. Keep up with what he's up to. And I will be back next week. Take care.
If you're interested in coaching and taking this conversation deeper so that you can achieve your personal and professional goals, be sure to head over to midlifemail.com and check out the Work With Me page to explore options.
Bread aisle, are you ready to rock? Dave's Killer Bread is the country's number one organic bread for a reason. Always delivering killer taste, killer texture, and killer nutrition. This isn't bread. This is bread amplified.